good to see everybody here. We're gonna do things a little bit different tonight. I'm gonna go ahead and preach, and then we're gonna have a prayer request at the end of service. Reason being is, so I thought, well, you know, the longer I know, the longer I sit there, this is gonna make it worse, so I'm just gonna go ahead. Maybe, hopefully, I took some high-profile stuff from coming here, so by the time I get done preaching, it'll start feeling better. But in any case, I'm okay. Don't worry about it. It's just a headache. But because it is there, and it's irritating, I said, well, rather than sit there and stew on this and make it worse, I'm just gonna go ahead and preach, okay? All right. If you haven't found, let's turn to the book of Revelation, and let's look at chapter number 12, Revelation chapter number 12. Last Wednesday night, I preached on the thought of the one who sits on the throne. And we was talking mostly about God's sovereignty, and even in and especially in the tribulation period. And how that is a work of God. That's something that he will do. That's not a work that the devil is doing. That is a work that God is doing. That's something that he has planned. It's something that he is going to use. Now, what we want to talk about tonight is the authority of the dragon. And that is, we know Satan. And I'm going to do this kind of in two parts. The first part is going to kind of be teaching. And it's just going to help us get an understanding of the Revelation timeline, if you will. And we're going to try to just get a little bit of an understanding how that throughout this book, things are not always in chronological order. And I believe that chapter 12 is a good example of that, and it's a concise example of that. And then we're going to go into the actual meaning of it, and I'm going to preach a little bit on it, and we're going to talk about the authority that Satan has pertaining to the tribulation period. Now, that's not to scare anyone. Like I said, I'm going to preface it by saying that my prayer, my hope is that by the end of this tonight, that you'll feel more encouraged and more emboldened in the face of Satan will pertain to these things. So we'll begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 12. The Bible says this. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd edify us tonight, give us unity of heart and mind in your word, God. May it glorify you and exalt the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, it's in his name that we beg. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Now, in order to begin to make my point in this teaching on this here in chapter 12, which is that there is not necessarily a chronological timeline that starts at the beginning of chapter 4 in Revelation and runs through to 22. It is not chronological means that, you know, like we would say that U.S. history is in chronological order. We would start from, you know, the colonial days in the 1700s, and we would run all the way through to now, right? And we would go, it would be in order as far as time. We'd go year by year. You know, the 1750s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 1800, 1810s, 20s, 30s. You see what I'm saying? That's the way it would go. That's chronological order, okay? Now, in Revelation, you'll find that there are some things that are in chronological order. And then there are some things that are not in chronological order.
Yeah.
And there's evidence of that directly here in Revelation in chapter number 12. Now, what I'm about to tell you is something that is debated upon. What I'm about to tell you is something that there's people who disagree on different levels, and that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, this is what I believe. This is my interpretation, okay? Now, this is the thing. I want us all to understand this, and I want us all to know this, that this is for learning's sake, and there is messages in this to preach that are beyond just learning's sake, okay? Now, the application to your life now is still the same, no matter what interpretation you take as far as learning about the history of it. And so I'm not going to argue with you. If you take a different approach and you see it a different way, I'm just going to give you the way that I see it. And this is the way my best understanding is. And remember, I'm just old redneck, okay? But in any case, if we back up a couple of chapters, this is what I believe. I believe that when you go through Revelation, you're seeing some things in chronological order. And you're seeing things there that's happening, and they're happening in chronological order until you get up to a certain place. And some of these things there are even not exactly in chronological order the way that they would appear that would make it line up with the rest of Scripture. And that's how I'm coming to these conclusions, is I always interpret Scripture according to other Scripture.
Right.
No Scripture is open to private interpretation. That's what the Bible says. Meaning that there is none that you can just read. We can't just read Revelation. And if that was the only book pertaining to end times prophecy, then we would read it a certain way. But because there's also Daniel and Zechariah, there's also Matthew 24, there's 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, because there's so many other epistles and so many other prophets that wrote, and even in going all the way back to Genesis, and even especially throughout Psalms in different places,
yeah,
we see that there's end times prophecy that's given there in those places as well. And when we take those things into account and we put those things together and we interpret them in light of other Scriptures, then we see that the timelines must not be exactly in chronological order. And I'm going to give you the greatest piece of evidence, I believe, to prove that point tonight. Begin starting right now. In chapter 10 of Revelation, we see here that he says that the sixth trumpet is sounded. We haven't gotten into the trumpets. We're going to get into some of that. We actually got into the horsemen necessarily. But we're on the sixth trumpet right here. This is just to give you an idea for future reference. But he says that this is after the sixth trumpet, it's going before the seventh trumpet. And in the beginning of chapter 10, he says, he beheld another, verse 1, mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right hand, or he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now listen to this. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. I believe that there was probably some things that were said there that would probably help us to unlock a lot of this. But as we've said before, I truly believe that God does not want us to have the full understanding of this. Yeah. He did not allow Israel before Christ to have a full understanding of the prophecies concerning Christ.
Amen.
He did not allow them. Why was that? It's because that if they knew when the Messiah was coming, then they would just live like hell until he came.
Yeah.
And in the same way with you and I, if we knew when he was coming back, then we would do the same way. We would say, oh, well, you know, that's what we would do. We would procrastinate. When we knew he was coming, we would just start cleaning up our act. But we're to be looking and watching every single day.
Yeah.
That is the job of the Christian. And so he tells him to seal up these things. And then he says this. He says, write them not. And in verse 5 of chapter 10, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, talking about the seventh angel with the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now there is some interpretations that would say that whenever he says that there will be time no more, that he's referring to the period during the tribulation period between the sixth angel sounding his trumpet and the seventh angel sounding his trumpet. There's also interpretations to say that he doesn't actually mean time as we would say time being no more. He's saying that it would delay no more. There would be no more delay in what's going to happen with the seventh angel. Now he said that the seventh angel, once he has sounded, that the mystery of God is going to be revealed. So we understand this, that even during the tribulation period, that there will still be things, even after the tribulation period is going through towards the end of it, there will be things that are not yet fully understood about the tribulation period and about the end times and the prophecies that were given. But he says that when the seventh angel sounds, then those things will be understood. That mystery will be made known. Those things that he was told to not write down, to seal up, they will be made known. But he says, when he says time no more, the interpretation I give from that, because of the word itself, it is not the word that is used in the Greek tongue to describe a certain age. It's not the word that is used to describe a time period or an appointment. It is the word that is used to describe time itself. Okay? And the way that I see this, because after he says this, that is when we see a great breakdown in what he's seeing from heaven. Remember, he's in heaven. Remember, he was called up to heaven. The same word that's used for rapture when he says, come up hither. He was called up. Okay? He was called up there, and he's there in heaven. Now, we know that time and space does not exist there, right? We understand that, right? Time is a concept that God has made for man, right? Remember, in the beginning, that was the start of time, okay? Before that, there was no time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, that is the start of time. But up there is no time. When he says time will be no more here, we can see how that throughout the rest of many of these chapters, that from there the things that John's seeing no longer are in any kind of chronological order. But they sort of begin to go back and forth. Now here's the evidence that they're definitely going back and forth, and you're going to see this in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, this is what the Bible says. It says, we just read this. It says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. That woman is Israel. Israel is often referred to as a woman throughout Scripture in different places. Again, it says that upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. That is the 12 tribes of Israel. It says, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. That is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. You say, well, how do you know that it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says in verse number 5, it says that she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
Yeah.
That's not talking about the Antichrist. That's not talking about David.
Amen.
That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we see that it's talking about here that is Israel. Okay? Now, and it's talking about that she was pained to be birthed. Now, read it in order here, and let's see how that it's not in order. But this is the way that John's seeing it unfold. John is describing to us what he's seeing unfolding. It says that there appeared a wonder in heaven, a woman. It says she's pained with a great child. And it says, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Verse 3, behold, a red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her as soon as the child was born. Now, it says here, when it says that he drew a third part of the stars from heaven, now we're going all the way back to the beginning of creation.
Yeah.
He's talking about when Satan rebelled against God.
Amen.
And a third of the angels, the stars of heaven, followed with him in that rebellion. That's what it's talking about. Then right after that, it says that the very next thing it says after that, it says that and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. Just look at verse 4. In verse 4, it goes from the beginning to the time of Herod trying to kill baby Jesus.
Yeah.
That is literally where it jumps to in one verse.
Yeah.
But as he's seeing this unfold, this is what he's seeing. Yeah. But we understand that Satan, being that he is against God and he was wanting to do all that he can to stop the progression of God's will, that would be the ultimate task that he could task himself with, is to try to destroy the Christ, right, the Messiah. And so as John's seeing these things unfold in heaven, notice also that he sees a dragon. Now, I don't know what a dragon looked like in that day, what kind of depictions of a dragon that they had, but I've never seen a depiction of a dragon that wasn't ugly. Amen? And so what he's seeing is he's seeing Satan for who he is. He's seeing an ugly old dragon. Then it says this. It says in verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now it's going from the birth of Jesus to the ascension of Jesus. We just skipped the death. We skipped the resurrection. We've seen him that he was there and that he was brought to heaven. Why? Because that's the place where he was going. That's the place where he's at now. And this is things that are not having to do with the crucifixion of Jesus. These are things that are having to do with the sovereignty and the ruling power of Jesus. And so he's at a place of authority. He says he's called up to heaven, to his throne, right? Amen? We see that. And then it says this, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days according to the Jewish calendar. A year is not 365 days. A year is 360 days. So guess what? The tribulation period will be based on years of 360 days, because that is the Jewish calendar. 1,260 days is the space of 3.5 years, according to the Jewish calendar.
Yeah.
And so now we've lived
from, it's talking about her being there from the time Jesus was born, all the way jumping to the time that Israel is going to be, like we talked about Sunday night, you know, they're going to be carried through that tribulation period. And it's talking about, some would say it's talking about the first 3.5 years. Some would say it's talking about the second 3.5 years. I tend to believe it's talking about the second 3.5 years. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
We're going to get more into it, but I'm going to tell you why in short. It's because the first 3.5 years, I believe that Israel also will be following the Antichrist. I believe that they also, as a whole, will be supporting the Antichrist until they see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, which will be at the middle point, the right after the first 3.5 years
yeah.
of the tribulation period. And then he will begin to persecute them, and they will flee, and they will be hidden until the time that the armies are able to surround them, like we see in Zechariah 14. And then the Lord will come back, and he'll bring his saints with him, and he'll go to war. We're going to get into that. But tonight, let's look at this. We can see, though, that it's talking about, because of the number of days it gives, 1260 days in verse number 6, it says that from verse 5 to verse 6, she goes from having the baby at the time Jesus is born to the time Israel is in the tribulation period, and they are running, and they are hiding, and God is hiding them. And it says in verse number 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent which called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out on earth. His angels were cast out with him. Now it's went back to the beginning. Do you see what I'm talking about here? We just went from a future event that we don't even know what time or year it's going to be, all the way back to the beginning. But as John's seeing this unfold, he just literally got through seeing this woman being hid for 1260 days. And then the next thing he sees, there's a great war in heaven. And Michael, now remember, Michael's Michael, okay? That's going to matter here in a minute when we get to preaching. I'm still teaching. But when we get to preaching, that's going to matter that Michael's Michael. And the dragon is the dragon, still, okay? But he they're cast out, okay? Now that was in the beginning, whenever that Satan had rebelled. That's what happened. That's what happened at the time of creation of the world. Because we see Satan here, he's not in heaven, is he? He's here when? When's the first time you see? The serpent. He says, that old serpent, the dragon, that old serpent. That's what the Bible calls him. And we see him there in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
And we're going to see that again here in just a minute. But he says this in verse number 10. He says, and I heard a loud voice saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, where the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now it's referring not only to the time that he was cast down to be going to and fro in the earth, but it's also referring to the time to where that he will no longer be able to stand and to raise an accusation. And talking about basically the judgment, where that he will not even be able to bring an accusation against you and I. Now, that's another thing that's not in chronological order, because we see references that this accuser will be there in judgment, accusing. We also understand that he will be bound and thrown into the lake of fire, right? And that's before anybody else is judged. And so we kind of get this picture that maybe that, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I tend to believe this, okay? This is what I believe to be happening right now because of what it says here. I believe that Satan, I'm just going to put it to you this way, he is able to go to and fro in the earth. That's where he spends most of his time, wreaking havoc, causing trouble. He's still able to go stand before God when God wants him to.
Yeah.
Sometimes God calls for it.
Yeah.
We see that in Job, right?
Yeah.
And it says he comes before God. I believe he's still able to go stand before God.
Yeah.
Because Job says so, okay?
Yeah.
And we see how that he's constantly accusing.
Yeah.
And I believe that he does that to you and I.
Yes.
Why else would we need an advocate with the Father?
Yeah.
If there wasn't one that was accusing.
Yeah.
And then it says this accuser is cast down. So there's going to come a time when not only was he cast down like he was to begin with, that his home's not in heaven, there's going to be a time they're going to revoke his visitor's pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to say, nope, don't want to hear it no more. Amen. Right? So they're talking about that. And it says, and they overcame him. How? So we know that this is not talking about just people practicing Judaism, especially not during the tribulation period. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
Yeah.
Now we can see that he is here in that time doing what it is that he will to try to hinder everything that is called good. He'll try to destroy everything that is called God. And we can see that now. All that was just to help us to get understanding as we go through this tribulation period, looking at the tribulation period especially, that the things that are going to unfold are not necessarily in chronological order. Is everybody on the same page with me? Can we see how that in just a few verses, in just one chapter, that things are definitely not in chronological order? Yeah. Right? That's pretty evident. And I think it's great enough evidence to say that there's probably other things that we must interpret according to other scripture, in light of other scripture, and that we find our chronological timeline through that, and not just reading from chapter to chapter through Revelation. Are we all in agreement on that?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, I can move on. Now, to get into the part where we're preaching, like I said, the title of the message is this, the authority of the dragon. And to understand this, I want us to first of all look at some other parts in the Bible, familiar stuff, Isaiah 14, we're going to go there, and then I'm going to go to Ezekiel 28, and we're going to talk about some things that the Bible does here in the Old Testament about Satan. In Isaiah 14, Lucifer here, he reminds me of a teenage version of myself. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, I said, that kid was so tough. And I said, that kid had so much energy. I said, I hate to fight him. I said, because he just had so much stamina. I said, I'd be short-winded. I said, and I wouldn't want to have to. I said, but I know one thing, I'd beat the brakes off of him. I said, because he was just a kid. He was a punk kid. Talk about myself, teenage version of myself. I said, if I get back, I'd have bit the devil out of him and told him a few things, and maybe his life would have worked out a whole lot better, a whole lot faster. But in Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? The world was looking at him with awe and astonishment and say, is this not the one that had so much power? But we see here, and like I said, this is what makes me think of myself at a younger age, is he said, I will, I will, I will. And I used to think that I just always had everything under control. Matter of fact, you know what? I still think that way sometimes, unfortunately. I still think that sometimes, you know, I've got this, and I think I'll do this, and I'll do that. And we see here that that's the biggest mistake that he made. He said, I will. Now, what did he want to do? He wanted to ascend his throne to that above God. We just read that. He said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be high and lifted up. Now, like I said, we know that that didn't work out for him. Because the Bible says, yeah, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now, again, we're going to read in Ezekiel, in chapter number 28. In Ezekiel chapter number 28 and verse 13, this is what the Bible says, talking about to the king of Tyre, which is, has the spirit of the devil there. And it says, and then we know he's talking to Satan, but this is what he says in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God.
Yeah.
Every precious stone was thy cover. Listen to this. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profaned out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they shall know thee among the people, shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. And so he's talking about from the beginning to the end. Again, we see that in prophecy, right? He's talking about how that in the beginning, he says that he was there at the mountain of God. He was with God. And the Bible says this about him, that it was in the Garden of Eden. He says he was an anointed cherub. He says that he was decorated in beautiful stones.
Yeah.
It talks about his beauty. He said he was corrupt because of his own beauty. Now, what we just read in Revelation chapter 12 called him a dragon. Like I said, any depiction of a dragon, anytime anybody's ever made a reference to a dragon throughout history that I've ever seen, I've never seen a beautiful dragon. I ain't saying that they ain't a beautiful dragon, I'm saying I've never seen a beautiful dragon. Okay? So if you draw beautiful dragons in your free time, don't get offended. But we also see that whenever in Revelation chapter 12, that it's not just symbolic, but it's actually showing him for who his true nature is. What John was being allowed to see in Revelation chapter 12 was not just something that was just, for nothing. It was not just, things that had happened, or he wasn't looking back into the past. They was basically putting on a play for him and allowing him to see. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that he was beautiful. The Bible says that he was bright, that he was stunning. And yet Michael's still Michael whenever they're fighting. Now all of a sudden he's a dragon and Michael's still Michael. Right? Michael wasn't, a giant bull that's fighting with the dragon. Michael's Michael. But Lucifer now is shown for what he is. You know why Michael's Michael? Because Michael's always been Michael.
Yeah.
Lucifer once was a bright and beautiful cherub who was probably he was in some position of authority in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay? And he was there, and he was present with God, and he was gifted with musical instruments. He probably had something to do with the worship of God. He might have been the one that come up with the song for those four beasts to sing day and night. We don't know that. I don't know, but I know this. If he did, they'd probably change the song, I'm sure. I don't know. I'm just, like I said, I'm just throwing guesses out here, some of this stuff. But some things we know in Scripture. This is the thing, is that we see that he is a powerful being. Now, this is what we do when we mess up, is you and I tend to think, like I said, like Satan does, I'll do this, I'll do that. Listen, let me tell you something. We see that Satan is a powerful enemy.
Yeah.
He's called a dragon. We see that he's called the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, the Bible calls him. And this is the problem. I am not a match for him.
Right.
and you were not a match for him.
Hey.
Hey, listen, he will devour your life.
Yeah.
If you try to stand up to him. What must you do then? You must hide behind your father.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ came and he died for your sins that you could be forgiven and know him. And guess what? As much as you and I, we can resist the devil. We can put up a good fight. Sure.
Yeah.
But in the end, he'll get you.
Yeah.
But guess what? He can't resist God.
Right. Yeah.
He don't stand a chance.
Amen.
Let me put it this way. Us and our mortal bodies, this is here's a power scale. Okay? Here we are. Okay? All right? Here's Satan. Right, here, let me put it to you this way. Here we go. This right here. All right? The average person is probably down here. And then we're going to go up about this high. Y'all see that little bit of movement? There's the strongest man in the world. Okay? And then up here's Satan. And then if I could somehow take this bottle and make it extend into the atmosphere beyond the furthest satellite we have, that would be God. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying that he is infinitely more powerful than Satan ever thought about being. Matter of fact, here's us, here's the devil. Michael is probably so far up there beyond that, that it would be beyond even feasible for him to be able to overcome. I don't know that, but I'm suspecting that. Here in Revelation 12, it didn't seem like Michael had too much trouble with it. Seemed like he just sort of tossed him out pretty easily. So they went to war and trailed out against him. But let's look at this. And this is the message I'm done tonight. This ain't gonna take much longer. Like I said, I've said a lot. I hope you learned something. This is what I want you to take home. This is what we're about to go into right now, is what I want you to take home. Understand this. We talk about Satan, we talk about what he's doing, and we understand this going into this study of end times prophecy, going into this study of we're about to see this Antichrist, this beast come into power. We're about to see his false prophet do great signs and wonders. And we read how that he gets their power from the dragon.
Yeah.
Okay? We're about to be getting into that. All right? And before we do, I want us to understand something. This is still God's tribulation.
Right.
This is still something that God is doing. Remember, he was the one sitting there, the throne, all the wonders of the throne, the beast, crying and singing praises to his name. The elders are there, they're praising his name. And the one thing, we look around, we see the visions of heaven, the streets are paved with gold. What we treasure is paving material. It's used to build up walls. The sea is like glass. He said the one thing that I've got, that I'm keeping under my arm, that I want to hold on to, that ain't just for y'all to trample on and to look at and to lean up against like a wall or a pavement, is this book. And that is the book that has the seven seals to open to unleash the tribulation.
Yeah.
And then we see that the Lamb was the one that was the only one who was worthy. It wasn't Satan. It was the Lamb was the only one that was found that was worthy to take the book and to open the book.
Hey.
Okay? And so let's understand that. And by understand that, we want to look at this. Here is the authority of Satan. Revelation 12, verse 1, we see the woman, Israel. In verse number 2, we see her serving her purpose. That was the purpose of Israel. That was God's main purpose of Israel. He's not done with Israel, but the primary purpose of Israel was to bring the Messiah.
Yeah.
That through Israel, God would bring the Messiah. Okay? We see her having been appointed her primary purpose. And then we see the dragon in verse 3. And in verse 4, he begins to do things. It says that he drew a third part of the stars. He was able to convince a third of the angels that were in heaven to follow with him.
Yeah.
Understand how cunning he must be.
Yeah.
That we are not matched for him, right? It says that he drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And it says, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So he set out something to do. He set out that he would devour this child as soon as it was born. He said, I've got something else I'm going to do now. I'm going to go ahead and take care of this. And what do we see that happened? And it says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up to God and to his throne. And so it looks like that the dragon failed. Amen? So we see that he thought something that he was going to do. And he failed at it. Right? Do you see what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Hey, this was one thing. Hey, listen, I'm talking about one that's got authority. The Bible calls him the God of this world.
Yeah.
He's in authority to be able to allow. He puts people in authority. He takes people out of authority under, of course, the guidance of the will of God.
Yeah.
But remember, he had the authority that he offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world.
Yeah.
Do you remember that when he came to Jesus in the wilderness? And so he's able to do these things, but yet whenever he gets to a point where God says no, he don't get to.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? All God's got to do is just say no.
Yeah.
And then he says this. It says in verse number 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we see that here another time that he's tried to do something.
Yeah.
And we just read about that, how he wanted to ascend his throne above that of God, and iniquity was found in his heart. And it said that he was cast out, said that Michael, the archangel, went to war with him and his angels. And he went to the war with the devil with his angels. And what they do is says they prevail not. They overcome them. And you know why they overcome them? Because God said so.
Yes.
And they'll always
yes.
overcome.
Yes.
And he cast them out. And then it says this. It says, and when the dragon, verse 13, when the dragon saw he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. She might fly into the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. It's talking about the years and a half of the tribulation period that it just talked about back over here in verse number 6. The same word it's talking about verse number 6 is the same thing that it's talking about in verse number 14.
Yep.
And it says that she fled from the serpent. It says in verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that it might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now the Bible says that it was a flood. Now I don't know, that's another thing that we could be interpreting in different ways, but I believe that being it's pertaining to the tribulation period, we don't read anything else about a flood. I believe that flood is talking about a flood of enemies. He's talking about a flood of enemies. He says, because he cast them out of his mouth, he commands the armies of the world. He is in control, and he's pushing people to go to pursue Israel, to find them. And it says that the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood. And we do see how that during that second 3.5 years of the tribulation period, there will be times the earth opens up and swallows up people into it. Right? And so we're going to get into that. We'll see that. But in any case, I believe that it's talking about a flood of enemies that are following. But nevertheless, we see again the dragon, something he wants to do. He says, I will pursue Israel. He says, I'm going to chase them down. I'll get people to find them. He's now reached a spot, mind you, that's talking about here. He's got the greatest level of authority that he's ever had in the world.
Yeah.
He is in control of all the nations. He's caused many of them to take a mark upon their foreheads or upon their right arm so that people would know that they belong to him. And you're not allowed to buy, sell, or trade unless you belong to him. You're not allowed to have church freely nowhere in the world. Nothing is allowed to glorify God nowhere in the world. There's statues of him that are erected everywhere, but yet he is still under God's thumb.
Yes. Amen.
Everything that he's doing, even in this during this time of him, the time of what he would consider the pinnacle of his power, mm-hmm. he is still nothing more than a servant of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's still part of God's plan. Now, Satan, we see what he does here. And I'm about done. I'm going to read you one more scripture and I'm done, okay? Luke chapter 10. Jesus sends out 72 into every city and place. And he gives them a charge through verses 16. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 says the 70 returned again. I'm sorry, 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Because these people realize, hold on, don't read ahead, pay attention. Listen. These people realize, as they get back, they say, you know what, we were no match for him. They realize that. They've got enough humility to say, you know what, we were no match for these demonic beings that have been around since the beginning of time, that have studied us and patterned us and know how to really cause a lot of disruption and chaos in our lives. And we were no match for them. But in thy name, they're glorifying God. They're saying, in your name, they are subject even to us through your name. Through the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so by saying this and by doing this, they're not bragging on themselves. They're glorifying him. Amen. That's what they're doing. But look at what he tells them. Look at what he tells them. He says this. He said unto them, verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Yeah.
Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, but nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Yeah.
What he's saying is he's saying this. They said, Jesus, you won't believe this. You know what? We went out in the world. We encountered demonic beings out there. And when we gave them your name, even they were subject to us. They had to obey us. They gave in to us because of you. Man, we didn't realize just how powerful of a master we had until we began to rebuke these demonic spirits, and they began to be subject to us also. And you know what Jesus said? He says, duh. That's what he's essentially saying. He said, Boldy, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He said, yeah, I seen him hit the ground. He said, you don't know you're fighting a defeated enemy? He said, you don't know you're fighting, it's already been whooped. This guy's just down here licking his wounds. You're just now starting to catch up and realize just who I am. When I say that I and my Father are one, he says, I mean that I and my Father are one. He said, when I say that I cast him out, he said, I cast him out. He said, whenever I establish a plan for his destruction, it will come to pass. That's why he's raging, because like it said in Revelation 12, he knows that his time is short. But just remember this, that the declaration of his end, his destruction, has already been made by he who sits on the throne, our God the Most High, who could never, ever, ever go back on his own word. And because of that, he is a defeated enemy.
Yeah, amen.
Jesus said, big deal. That ain't nothing to get excited over. That's what he's saying. You know, we get all into this spiritualism and stuff, you know, and we see people all the time, and we think, man, I wonder if they're demon-possessed. But I think stuff like that. Yeah. You know, and I think stuff like that. And we think it's just so amazing. And we think it's so interesting. And we think it's so fascinating to learn about these kinds of things like we're talking about here tonight. We think it's so fascinating to learn about the origins of Satan and the things in his role during the end times. And it is fascinating, and that's good. And it's interesting, and it's good to learn. But Jesus reminds us of this. He said, that's not the big deal. He said, the big deal is this, that your name is written down in heaven. Yeah. That you've got a place that you're going to. That the victory belongs to you. That you're not on the losing side anymore.
Amen.
You're not in league with the loser anymore. That old devil's been beat down. He's been made to be a loser down here on the earth. And why is that? It's because that he could not stand in the might of God. And God showed no mercy to him, but he showed it to you and I.
Amen.
He said that same old devil that was beat down, that's the same one, remember in John chapter 8, where he says, you're of your father, the devil. He establishes that all of us who are born naturally, that we have a spiritual father, which is called Satan. Why? It's because we love darkness instead of the truth, like it said in John chapter 3. But praise be to God that he brings light to him, and that he offers grace, he offers mercy, He offers forgiveness. Hey, I'm going to say this, that the real amazement here, the real amusement here, the real great and wonderful and exciting thing is not the fact that Satan is here and working and doing all this. The great and wonderful thing is that you and I have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that our names are written in heaven. No matter what he may do, or what he may try, I'm glad that he can't change that fact.
Hey.
He might cause me to stumble, but I'll never fall. I might make a mess, but my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
It's because of what he's done. I know I'll live forever. Amen. I have victory over death, over hell, and over the works of the devil. And it's through the name of Jesus Christ. My name is written there. That's why when they sing that song, I know my name is there.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah.
It ain't as if I went up there and wrote it down myself. It ain't as if I had to have a race with the devil to outrun him to get there. I didn't meet him on some road, back road one day on a stump and have a fiddle competition with him.
Right.
That wouldn't have worked.
No.
He'd have beat the brakes off you in fiddle competition. This guy's gifted from God in musical talent.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care how long Johnny's been practicing.
Right.
But the King of Kings, before, you know what, in heaven, look at what it says. God didn't even waste his time. He said, Michael, go take the trash out.
Yeah.
He didn't even waste his time. But for me and for you, he come down as a man and defeated him or himself.
Amen.
He lowered himself to the state of you and I that he might be able to do that himself so that he can say, you know what, this is how much I love you. This is how far I'm willing to go for you. That's the love that he's extended to you and I. That's the victory that he's proclaimed for you and I. What a wonderful Savior we have. All right. Mr. Sherry, if you want to come play, and Rich Matthew, if you want to lead us in a hymn, and give you all opportunity, if you'd like, you can come to the altar. If there's any for any reason, if you want to just come thank God, you just want to pray about anything, you can come, you know the altar's open. And we'll have our song just like we normally would, like we come in on Wednesday night. And preacher, you get done and go ahead and let's have a prayer. Go ahead and take up a request and we'll have a prayer just before we go, okay? Thank you, preacher. Love you.
Let's do page 120. 120.
Save a wretch like me, my kind of love is grown.
you know, Jesus came down himself to defeat Satan. What I couldn't help but think of is, you know, we have that old phrase, if somebody's very confident that they're going to beat their enemy, they'll say, I'll beat you with one hand tied behind my back. Well, I said, what I thought of when you were saying that was that it's as if Jesus looked at Satan and said, I tell you what, I'm so confident, I'll become a man.
Yeah.
And I'll beat you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty good. Well, let's do one more. Let's do number 176. 176. Let's get the first, second, and last verse. Just pray for me on that. How was, how's Preacher Billy? Is he doing better?
He took it back to the doctor yesterday, and x-rays looked really good. They said that the heart murmur not moving.
Okay, that's good.
But he did say 8 to 10 weeks, he's going to have to be patient 8 to 10 weeks, which is already 2 weeks into it.
Right.
That he's just going to have to, you know, endure.
Yeah.
But he can, he has no restrictions now. He can just lay on it. He can do it.
Amen. Amen. I thought he was going to have to go to 10 weeks without weight bearing.
No, no.
Okay. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Let's see. And now I'm sorry. Emma, have you already had your endoscopy or it's later this week?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. So do everybody be much in prayer for that. I'm looking forward to help her with that. Both grace for the procedure and then everything will turn out right. You know, with it also. Let's see. I feel like somebody else is having a procedure this week. Oh, Luke had his surgery this week, didn't he? Brenda's grandson, Luke. I don't guess anybody's heard anything about that. I noticed they're not here with us this evening. Do remember that the Lord would give him healing?
I started not reading.
Oh, yes. Now, Preacher...
Stacy.
Yeah, Preacher Stacy Lane's church. Saul Brock there in Drexel, that meeting. Yeah, and I'll read the times again. It was a little bit... Some of them are morning, some of them are evening. Oh, yeah, so it was this evening. There was an evening meeting this evening at 7. And then the next 2 days, there will be evening meetings at 7. For the next 3 days, there will be morning meetings at 10. So everybody remember that. That, again, was Preacher Stacy Lane, Solid Rock, out in there. So remember those preachers. Remember our youth meeting coming up. I guess it's 2 weeks. So remember that, and then we got Resurrection Sunday, you know, that leads up to. So do remember that, and celebrating the what our Lord did for us, like I said, Sunday, that central moment in all of human history, that focal point of everything that God was doing here with us on this earth, purchasing us to bring Himself honor and glory. So do remember that. And I think, the ladies' meeting is the 10th.
Next Thursday.
Is that the 10th? Am I making that up? Okay, the 10th. Okay, so remember that. I continue to remember Brother Robert. Lord, to help him and continue to remember the special request they have. Continue to remember Tim Young. Always, Ms. Candy mentions him and also that family that got those 5 foster kids. Remember the Maccabees. Lord, would help them in their journey towards becoming foster parents. Get that worked out for them. Who else is going to request this evening? Yes, amen. Amen. Remember these.
Amy mentioned that the baby that
they
mentioned in prayer for you, put her on conscious care, which is probably not going to be a lot much longer. So pray for that baby. And I think.
Yes, amen.
I know it was a house fire break till the day. The lady was downstairs on God, and it just done up. But it's one of the teachers at Sarah's school that was for all the house to burn. So, the whole situation for this happens.
Yes, amen.
We're at Drexel.
That can't help but alleviate that situation to an extent. I'm just need to pray that people will be a little bit less foolish about, you know, what they do. This, you know, when it ain't rained in 10 days and wind's 25 miles an hour, that's probably not a good time to burn the brush. But I think there has been some of that. So, but anyway, we do appreciate the Lord sending us that rain. Looks like we got a little more coming. Pray for the folks though. There's been a lot of storms. There's been so many. You know, again, my brain's been a little bit rattled recently, so I'm having trouble tracking stuff. But there's been like winter storms and some ice and stuff in different places. And there's been, you know, more like what we've had with rainstorms. There have been some bad flooding. And I think in some places, I know it was further west. I want to say they said parts of Tennessee and well, I'm having trouble remembering. But I know there's a storm that's supposed to be coming in there. You know, talking about massive amounts of rain. So so we need to remember these folks, too, that God would protect them and help them.
Amanda Bromley, she had a message shown on our CC page to be praying for her family out in Arkansas because her daughter's out there with them, Abby, and they're calling for high risk of tornadoes and flooding towards their direction. So,
okay.
And I know she said her daughter was really scared, so just pray for that family.
Amen. Amen. Remember that.
There's also a young lady down at church.
Okay, amen. Remember this. I've been thinking too, how is Miss, I think her name's Ellen?
She's still good. She had a report taken out the other day.
Oh, okay, good. Amen. That's good then.
Is her writing that award?
Yeah, she saw it. She goes by award.
Yeah. That was Stephen. That was one of Stephen's best friends.
Oh, she married a Cody. Yeah.
Do appreciate the Lord helping Miss Donna though. I knew she had cancer, but you know, I kind of lost track of time as far as the, how long she had been taking treatments and stuff like that. Oh, continue to remember preacher Stormy Mosteller, because his baby's due like any day now. I mean, for all I'm probably, you know, I know them, but they're I'm probably not like one of their top five people to text, right? Like when the baby comes. So. All they're on Facebook. So, I mean, I was just like, well, it's been close enough now that for all I know, they still got a baby, but I don't want to pester them because they probably got people texting them every day saying, baby yet? Is there a baby yet? Like, I don't need to be that guy. You know what I mean? But do pray for them that his wife would have a safe delivery or anything. And of course, you remember Miss Stephanie and Miss Megan and, you know, got several that are having babies. I was telling some of them before service.
Clint's sister just had her baby this week.
Oh, she did. Is everything okay with her?
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever found out what it was or not.
I guess probably they know.
No, well, they know. They said they wouldn't tell anybody what it is. They told their family, if you want to know what it is, you got to come see it. And they didn't go see it. They wouldn't mind any this.
You know, I would have put that past Clint, but I wouldn't have thought Heather so much. That's too funny. So what's that number, like 25? Or no, I think it's probably like 8.
7.
Okay. That's too funny. But we were talking about four service here. We know the first child stereotypes, the second child stereotypes, the third child stereotypes. So far in our family, those stereotypes are pretty well held true, right? But I was like, but none of us know what the fourth child stereotypes are because it's just now become a thing to have more than three. So I said, we're all going to find out at the same time. About the fourth child stuff. Maybe. Yeah, because, you know, Cambry said Parker already had a child, and now she wants a child. Hannah almost has a child, right? Because she's old enough to, like, really help with that. She is like a second mom, so maybe that's it. Maybe he's like her first child.
Yeah.
In that case, you're in good shape because he's going to be the quiet one. All right, that's all. So I'm going to pray this evening.
Brother Penny, would you give me this, please?
Your Lord, in this Congress, it's heaven, all the Lord, this time, this week, your parents, and the Lord, you say your words.
Lord, some of this, I was pretty praise one another, I thank you for everything this foundation, we bow before you today, Lord, it's got a burden on their heart. May you do them a blessing, my friends, for loving us, and being good to us, far better than we deserve. Lord, we thank you for your love, thank you for your blessings and your mercy, God. Pray that you continue to have mercy upon us, Lord, upon the brothers, God, you're always supposed to be helping us to live on, God, it glorifies you, let us be wise, and grant us wisdom, God, that we see not those which in our actions or speech, God, that everything we do, may you do it all, glorify you. I pray, God, that you would be the center of our world, always, Lord, that I set our hearts and minds upon serving you, God, that you may be, I pray, privilege it is, be your service and love to you. I pray, Lord, that you help them, those stuff, things that are within the law, Lord, as she goes to have things to be done, I pray that you help it, because those that go smooth as possible. I pray, Lord, that you, be with the greatest little grandbaby, Lord, as he's gonna be helped this week, I pray that you help him recover. Lord, I pray that you bring their families, Lord, give them peace of mind. I pray, Lord, that you touch, Lord, if the sick is afflicted, that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, help preacher be able to speak, and I pray, God, you touch them, brother, and then you, Charles, all of our prayers, Lord, I pray that you touch them, help. Lord, there's other needs in the church, Lord, there's things that you know about, this hangers, when other, Lord, if this burden of hearts tonight, may you touch and help those things, God, may glorify for us. Help us, Lord, to desire what you want, Lord, may our desire be yours. God, that our will be aligned with your, that is your own, God, that you might be glorified in us praying and having prayers on your behalf, Lord, we will. Lord, we ask you, it's all these things in Jesus' name, and I.
Everything said and done, it's all these things, my holy heaven, and turn your Savior, Lord, we pray, amen.
Amen. You're liberty to go.